97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome into the show. Mark Cox here along with Bo Matthews, Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew.
Yeah, what an up and down weather few days we've had. Hopefully you've had a chance to get outside.
It's been crazy.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
No kidding. I went camping last weekend.
And there was a method behind your madness, right?
Well, there was. We wanted to just go. We got a new camper. We want to take it on a trial run, make sure everything worked. Of course, it's 30 degrees the first night we're there, and it was 75 by the time we left on Sunday, which was weird, so we got to experience all the temperatures there.
How was the insulation on the RV?
Everything seemed to work fine. The furnace worked fine. We know that. The vents worked fine on the warm as the days warmed up.
Does it have a fireplace?
It does not.
Oh, okay.
No. No, it's not that.
That's outside.
That's fancy
that
people stuff. Yeah, bonfire, right? I never understood that.
That's me, man. I want to get the camper set up and sit out by the fire and have a cocktail and just relax.
Absolutely.
And took the dog with us and let her get in the water and play. It was just a great weekend to be outdoors.
So the maiden voyage was good.
Fantastic, except that it's like a 30-foot pull trailer, right? Every time I've pulled it so far, there have been between 20 and 30 mile an hour winds. It's like pulling a sail behind your truck.
So you can drive through anything at this
anything.
Point.
Anything. It doesn't matter. I'm unfazed.
And your wife also got to drive it this
weekend.
Did.
She did. That was part of the reason. She's wanted to learn to do it on her own. So
it's like skiing at Hidden Valley. If you can ski there, you can ski anywhere.
I don't know if she's getting rid of me or what, but she's trying to learn to do this on her own. So I'm helping.
And if you don't mind, if we revisit the conversation that we had walking back from opening day of the Cardinals, because you had just bought an RV last year. Do you mind talking about this?
No, not at all.
Because my question for you was, dude, you just bought your RV last year. At what point did you say I wanted something different?
So back to my wife wanting to learn to do this on her own. She was intimidated at the thought of pulling anything.
Right.
And I don't know if there are ladies
except your chain.
I don't know. There may be people, regardless of gender, in the audience who've never pulled anything before. I mean, it can be intimidating if you've never done it.
Yeah.
The backing up is certainly intimidating. That's a learned skill. But she wanted to go camping, and she wanted to be able to go sometimes with just my daughter or maybe other people if I wasn't available because I'm limited on the amount of vacation I could take or whatever.
You work a lot.
Because she works from home. Her business is home-based, and she can do her job from just about anywhere. So we bought a small camper a year ago that was very light and very easy to pull, and she just kind of cut her teeth on that. And we went to Florida with it back in early March, right? With three of us in it. It only slept three people. It's a very small little camper. And we just decided we probably needed a little more space because you're just on top of each other. There's no way to get a...
Sure.
There's one aisle down the middle, and there was nowhere to go.
And everybody's really close to the bathroom.
Yeah. And we started looking, and we stumbled across something a little bigger that has, you know, all weather attributes to it. It's got some insulation and stuff like that. And so we put the other camper up, and it sold in one day. I mean,
awesome.
The demand out there is just amazing. So we sold, and we bought, and we tested, and we loved it.
That's great.
That's good.
And to make a move like that, I mean, I bought a motorcycle 1 year, and then right away I knew as soon as I got it, I wanted something different.
Yeah.
It's like, dang it, why did I get this? But, you know, cut your teeth on it, and then within a year you buy what you want.
We were thrilled with the first one, but we needed a little more space.
Absolutely.
This has worked out well.
Yeah. Well, good deal. Well, I'm glad everything went well on the maiden voyage, and you know, your summer plans are coming together. A lot of heavy headlines in the past week.
You bet.
Regarding the Second Amendment, and I did want to touch on a couple of those. The ghost gun speech that Joe Biden did
a
few days ago. To me, it is just, they are just nicking at the armor. They're just, little by little, they just want to put that out there anytime they can. And then you see it hurts my heart because they're being so scrutinizing on ghost guns, because that's a scary word, But of course, their ultimate goal is to disarm America. I mean, abolish the Second Amendment. But yet we see in Ukraine, they're handing firearms out to anybody that will take one to defend their country. It's just...
Oh, but that could never happen here, Bo.
We don't know.
We're America. We've been around for a solid 240 years. I mean, we got such a long history. Nobody could ever consider invading America. Are you kidding me?
I beg to differ because in this world...
I'm just teasing.
I know you are.
I'm being facetious. It's ludicrous to look at history and presume that we've finally figured it out and that America will stand forever and nobody will ever... see fit or try to take us over from the inside or the out. And that's the vision of our founders, right? They realized that an armed populace are citizens, not subjects.
Right.
They realized that a long time ago. And back to your point on the ghost guns and the bits and pieces that they keep trying to take out of the Second Amendment. This is a fake argument. It's not a thing. There may be some guns that have been found without serial numbers in New York or wherever he referred to. Channel 4 here locally went out and covered the story. They went and talked to somebody that owns a gun store, right? Mm-hmm. Not the one you're associated with or me, but they talked to someone who said, this is really not an issue. Because in most cases, if you buy the lower for an AR-15 and you want to build your own gun, that lower has a serial number on it, and you have to buy it through a federally licensed firearm dealer.
Right.
There are some kits that are out there that they consider 80% kits that's just a plastic frame, and then you have to assemble everything in it. And there are some of those that don't have serial numbers on them, but that would be the equivalent of me telling you you can buy, if you want a car, but you don't want to go buy one at a dealer lot, you can buy all the parts and assemble it yourself.
Absolutely.
Good luck with that. There are people that had that skill set, but the criminals in New York or St. Louis or Kansas City or Chicago or wherever they happen to be, they don't have that skill set. They're going to go to a street corner, buy one that's been stolen, and then go commit their crimes with it.
That has serial numbers on it.
Sure.
Or they may have went to the trouble of grinding it off, but I doubt that they do because they don't care. Because once their crime is committed, they'll discard of it or resell it down the line. So the other issue that I have with that is that the word ghost gun is scary, and they keep bringing that up. And I did talk to my people at Razorback. It is such a small amount of guns that are used. And so when it comes to doing this, it really is something. It's more, I truly believe that the ghost guns are for people that are, they want to be a gunsmith, or they think that they're a gunsmith. Just kind of like, I'm not an auto body guy. I don't do collision repair, but I can do some repairs on my vehicle. It's a hobby of mine.
Right.
People that are passionate about guns. We're going to talk to somebody very passionate about fishing lures here in the show.
Yeah.
People that are passionate about whatever you're passionate about, you want to know every absolute thing about it. I got a guy that calls himself Electric Car Mike. I've been getting texts from him because I gave him my number for weeks now. He even sent me like a Tesla battery, just one little. He goes, that one battery will get you down the road 140 yards. You need 3,000 of these to, you know. So my point is there are passionate people that may want to put something together. They may want to construct it or customize it, but you can do it with these kits.
If you have the tools, you have to be able to mill things.
100%.
That you can't just throw together a gun. So that's why it's, and what I started to say was Channel 4 went out and covered this story. And, you know, the headline is, you know, what are ghost guns? It's controversial. Gun store owners say it's not an issue. Very last line of the story, News 4 spoke to police who say they really don't see this as a problem. And several pointed out that it's been years since they've recovered a gun with no serial number on it.
Right, right.
At the end of the day, they're lying to you, folks. Ghost guns are not, it's a straw man argument. They're creating a boogeyman to scare you with the name ghost gun, but criminals aren't using ghost guns. They're using stolen guns because when you go to Busch Stadium, you're not allowed to protect yourself on your walk to the stadium, so you leave your gun in your car, hopefully locked up, but some criminal breaks in and steals it, and then it ends up getting used as a crime. These are the guns that are on the street. They're illegal. They're used by criminals who, by their very nature, don't follow the law.
And I wish that that this administration would also point out the real cause to it is the heart of man. The lack of morality in our citizens that are committing these crimes. And I even referenced you on St. Louis Talks this past week that I can blame the fork for making me fat. There's no serial numbers on rocks or baseball bats. Those could be used as well in crimes and are often used. So that's my point about that.
It is a good point. And you know, the shooting in the subway in New York this week. What a tragedy. Couple of questions about that. I mean, number one, the guy had been on a watch list. This Frank James, the suspect, had been on a watch list and suddenly was no longer on a watch list. But if you listen to some of his ranting on social media where he was threatening to kill people, including the current mayor of New York, why wasn't he on a watch list? You got to ask yourself that. This is the soundbite from the current mayor, Adams, up there in New York.
Were there things posted by this person of interest that to you should have set off red flags?
I believe so, and that would come out during an investigation. Or even just look at not only this case, we have cases of looking at some of the violent drill music where you hear people state they're going to shoot someone. That should be a warning sign. And you look at how we're using social media right now to put threats out there, carry out dangerous actions, and there are clear correlations between what's being posted and what's being carried out in our streets, in this case and in many other cases.
Yeah, sad. I'm very happy no one lost their lives. Somebody should have been watching this guy, number one. Number two, he has a criminal record dating back to the early 90s.
Yep, 91,
there's no
92.
Way he owned that gun legally. I don't believe that. He had a Glock handgun.
He bought it in 2010 or 11 when he didn't have any felonies.
Oh, okay.
So he bought it legally, like in Ohio.
He had it a long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that was shocking to me is how many shots were fired. I think I heard 33 shots were fired. 23 were injured was the number I heard. It may be different. Nobody died. My first thought was it must have been like a 22. Just a small caliber.
They said it was a Glock. They didn't say what it was.
Well, I did hear it was a 9mm.
Oh, you did? Okay.
But there's a guy on Instagram that he says, he calls himself Take Naps on Instagram. He's a comedian. And he goes, I've traveled the world. He goes, this man dropped his keys and his ID or his credit card in the subway. He goes, I've traveled the world. I've never lost both at one time. Matter of fact, I've never lost my keys ever in my life. So it's like, what's going on here? Why would the guy have left that stuff behind? Because
he's unbalanced or he wanted to get caught.
He turned himself in.
Well, effectively, he did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He called the police and said, you're looking for me.
Yeah, horrifying, though, as horrifying as you can imagine what that would be on a subway. And I've been to New York subways before, and it's an amazing system.
Yep.
But go ahead.
Doesn't fit the narrative that the left was hoping for when they found the guy.
I know, and it was a day after this administration's talk on ghost guns.
Right.
And it's like, I'm not going conspiracy on you. I'm just saying it sure is weird that it all happened at the same time. That's my point, gentlemen.
Good point.
Yeah. Is it really? I don't think it is.
I don't know. But it didn't fit the narrative, certainly, because had it been a ghost gun or it had been somebody else who had intentions other than this very angry 62-year-old man who made racial rants online, right?
Vile.
Oh, rants,
yeah. Even he was even upset that he found out that the new Supreme Court Justice, Ketanji Brown Jackson, was married to a white man.
Oh, he was mad about that, too?
He had a Facebook post about that, too. So, craziness in this world.
Yes, it is. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Speaking of Great Outdoors, I love to travel. I really do. But they just extended that mask mandate again a couple more weeks.
And I just booked a flight, too.
I know. So traveling has changed a lot, no doubt about it, in the post-pandemic world. We're going to talk to somebody who many of you might recognize, if not his name, certainly the show that he was on for many years.
You'll know his voice, too.
Absolutely. We're going to talk to him about what traveling is like in the post-pandemic world when we come back.
This is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox, Bo Matthews, Carl Middleman still hanging out. Actually, he's the DJ extraordinaire here. You know, the wonderful thing about marriage, as we talked about you and your wife and your camping travels, my wife and I love to hike.
Okay.
We never set out on the trail prepared at all. We always maybe have a half a bottle of water. And seriously, I mean, it's like we're 3 miles in and I'm like, oh, can I ration this? And I bring up the last big hike we did was in Northern California outside of San Francisco. And my point of bringing this up is some great places you want to go see, whether it's national parks or amusement parks or whatever, you got to fly to get to it. You got to travel to get to those locations. So we actually have somebody that can speak to. And I don't like saying post-pandemic because I think we're kind of still in it.
It's
still
an endemic.
So it's what?
It's an endemic is what they're calling it now.
Are we emphasizing the word end?
No.
Endemic?
It will end.
I know. We have Reed Alexander, and we played iCarly's theme song, which is, you know, probably his ringtone. I don't know. Reed Alexander from Business Insider, welcome to the radio station and Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. How are you again, sir?
I'm really well. Thank you so much for having me back on and for the terrific fanfare with the theme song of the show. I appreciate that.
You wrote that, right? So you get some three...
Eight cents.
8 cents? Yeah, there's something. Let's hope anyway.
Sadly, I think there's no such royalties. The 8 cents would be 8 cents more than I'll be getting for any repeats of the theme song. But I think there's some good, there's a good cachet if it has some sort of pop culture effect. So I can't be anything but grateful that you played it.
Okay, well, so you're not an actor anymore. Are you still acting? Are you doing both? Because you're a working person now.
Yeah. So I cover finance and lifestyle and a couple of other things at Business Insider. So I moved away from acting probably, about 8 years ago. But we brought iCarly back last year for a revival. For your listeners, a little bit of context. The original show was on air from 2007 to 2012, and it really entered, I would say, the top levels of pop culture for young people. It was the most popular show at that time, which was so terrific. And back by popular demand, we have recreated the show. It's set 10 years later, and it's on air now. So I was part of that. But my main focus is telling great stories as a journalist here at Insider.
Well, it's we're glad to have you on. And we were talking about travel earlier. And here's the thing about it. I know they've extended the mask mandate. There are just things you kind of have to accept these days if you want to travel. And it's that way nationally and, of course, internationally, right?
Yeah, so there are going to be some challenges with this. There is a real expectation that after 2 years of largely staying home or traveling on the ground, renting cars, et cetera, this is going to be a really robust year for travel globally. In fact, the CEO of the travel company Expedia, the online booking company, said, quote, summer 2022 will be the busiest travel season ever. So clearly there's a bullish mentality there from the travel sector. I mean, granted, they kind of have to say that. But I do think that it stands to reason that as the pandemic seems to wane, even if there will be future variants, people want to get out there. But as you say, it is going to be unavoidable that there will be some inconvenience. There may be places, if you're going overseas, that require showing proof of vaccination. Certainly, we are hearing and seeing that there are signs that the mask mandate in public transportation will be extended. With the Biden administration announcing that it plans to extend a mask mandate on planes and trains through May the 3rd because of this recent uptick in cases related to the new Omicron variant. So certainly it won't be that there are no signs of COVID, but I think if you are vaccinated, if you can show that you've recently been tested, there's a lot you're going to be able to do this year.
Okay, question for you, because I just booked a flight because I need to make a trip. And so the mask mandate is in place. What's the domestic travel rule on vaccine?
Yeah, very good question. So I think, I don't think you need to be showing proof of vaccination for domestic travel.
Gotcha.
But many airlines are requiring proof of a negative test result if you are going to be flying and you haven't been vaccinated. So typically it's an either or situation. So according to the CDC, air passengers ages 2 years and older, regardless of their citizenship, or vaccination status must show a negative result of a COVID-19 viral test or documentation of COVID recovery if they're coming into the United States.
Yeah.
Domestically, I think it's sort of an either-or situation. So I think you're going to have less concerns if you're flying within the country than, say, if you're going somewhere else and then coming back.
Yeah, you know, Reed Alexander, our guest, there's just no... The problem I have here is that moving forward, every country, I mean, the European Union has some uniformity to its rules, but traveling to Germany may be different than traveling to Italy. And it seems like unless you're working with a travel agent, that the onus is going to be on the traveler to figure out what in the world the rules are. I mean, they're all over the place depending on where you're going.
So I agree with what you're saying, but luckily there are a couple of solutions that you can put into place to mitigate the confusion. I mean, I myself am sort of dealing with this now. I'm planning my first overseas trip since the pandemic for July, and I'm thinking ahead, you know, how can I make sure that I've got all of my T's crossed and I's dotted? The last thing anyone wants to do is get to the airport and be told, whoops, you forgot to do X, Y, or Z. I would ask the airline, for sure, in the process of booking, pick up the phone, call the airline, make sure you have a clear understanding of what documentation you need to show at the airport in whatever country you are leaving from and then returning from. The other great solution here is contact your partners on the ground, contact your hotel. If you booked a hotel, even through an online booking site, get their concierge on the phone, get their front desk on the phone. After 2 years of fielding these inquiries from travelers all over the world, hotels have a lot of information on hand about what the local regulations are. So lean on places that you plan to stay to make sure you understand what the requirements are. And the good news is there are a lot of various websites, including the CDC and other sort of travel advisory sites that will tell you what's expected of you in those countries. I think if you are someone who has been vaccinated, make sure you have your vaccine card. Got to have the vaccine card on hand.
Well,
if you are somebody who, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you being a big star, you probably private jet everywhere, don't you? Please tell me you do.
No, not quite.
What?
That might make life easier, but no, that is not the case. Not at least for this summer.
Not fair. That's not fair, Reed.
I will save those protestations for after the fact. I mean, luckily, you know, I think I have been fortunate to have flown throughout the pandemic and not encountered a lot of difficulty flying domestically.
Yeah.
I think if you are flying domestically, it's a good idea to have an at-home sort of test that you can take within 24 hours before, particularly as we transition into this stage where there's less reliance on testing centers and we're doing more at-home testing. You might want to have that, you know, some documentation or some sort of photograph of the at-home test that shows that it was negative with a date and time timestamp on the picture so that you can show this was in the last 24 hours. I think the question for people is coming home, do you need to be getting a test within 24 hours of leaving the country? And that is a question that I would really lean on wherever it is that you're going for that kind of clarity.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Reed, where can people follow you? Is it Business Insider? Is that the name of the current name of the paper?
Absolutely. No, you're right. That's our publication. So you can go to Business Insider. And we've got a lot of details, by the way, on the site. If you are someone who's running into any of the questions you've just raised here, you can head to Business Insider. We're trying to demystify some of the difficulties for people.
Excellent. Okay, good stuff. Hey, great talking to you again, Reed. We'll have you back on St. Louis Talks, I'm sure, one day soon. And safe travels to you when you go overseas.
Many thanks. Same to you. Enjoy, and great to be back on with you guys. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Reed Alexander there. Good to get him on. And good advice. You got to plan ahead. Like my friend Denise Schaefer, who's on the morning show with me at 97.1. Just flew. Where did they
Mexico.
Go? Mexico. Mexico somewhere.
Ooh, nice.
Mexico, right? And
but they didn't know anything.
Well,
because when they booked it, the rules had changed
right,
by then.
Right, the rules had changed, and her point was, yeah, you had to wear a mask on the plane, but she just made sure she kept a glass of wine in front of her all the time, and if you're eating or drinking,
that was
So
in August, September of 2020, I traveled up to Minnesota by plane, and I knew about that rule, that if you're eating something,
uh-huh.
you don't have to have a mask, you know, on.
Just eating all the time.
So I didn't
gained
get
four
the
pounds.
I didn't get the little, you know, packet of snacks from the airline. I brought my own, and so it was one peanut at a time.
Always remember, if you're traveling back into the country from elsewhere, they want you to be tested. If you're just smart and you fly to Mexico and steal your way across the southern border, nobody will check you.
And I hear that as a path.
I just wanted to point that out. I mean, it's a...
I did like the fact that Reed Alexander pointed out that, you know, the air travel will come back as opposed to traveling on the ground.
Yeah.
Like a slug. That's me. No. So do you need... Well, you know what? Don't even worry about it. I'll check my airline to find out what I need to
do. Call the hotel.
Well, I'm not staying at a hotel, but I need to know what I need to do other than the mask on the airline. I haven't flown in 2 years.
You know where you don't need a mask? When you go fishing, when you're wetting a line.
Love it.
Yeah, we're going to talk to a guy who went through the pandemic, hit some difficulties, reinvented himself as an inventor, and you can now buy his, you can catch some hogs on some of his lures at Pole Shaker, right?
Yes, you can. We're going to talk to my buddy Troy DeRuze, coming up next on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox, I'm Bo Matthews, and we've got Carl Middleman, who is our DJ extraordinaire. What is the reference of this song? I always have to ask because I'm like a one-lane guy.
All right, so this song is called Three Strange Days. It used to be, for people who don't know, I play the music at the blues games and I blow the horn.
Yes.
So when the blues games were on KMOX, it was Chris Kerber and Kelly Chase, right. And they had a show called The Battler and the Broadcaster, and that was their, like, show. And, and when they were on KMOX, they did that, and this was their theme song. It is by School of Fish.
Oh, there's the connection.
And so that is the longest reach that you can get.
You were able to connect the dots, though. I'm impressed.
We actually, you know, we play fishing songs all the time, and I said, let's do something not as...
obvious.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Okay. We are definitely not obvious.
Well done. Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to throw it in here. This segment brought to you by Razorback Armory, your gun concierge in DePere. I'm in a race with somebody else, a chief of police, to who's going to get their silencer first. We filed our paperwork about the same time, but the silencer shop kiosk kind of makes it quicker. So check it out, RazorbackArmory.com. Go see them in DePere. Jesse and Brad do a great job, and tell them Bo sent you. So this guest that we have for this segment, we're going to the water. We're going fishing, and I see this guy. I follow him on Facebook, and I've known him for years. Had you ever, Mark, been to a place called the Doghouse Restaurant?
I have not.
Oh,
no.
I miss it so bad. But I bring it up because Troy and his beautiful wife opened up the Doghouse Restaurant in DeSoto. Then they opened up in Festus Crystal City. Pandemic hit. But there's hope that the Doghouse may come back. But in the meantime, this big boy has been a fisherman and a fish lure inventor. Troy DeRuze from Pole Shaker. How are you, my brother?
Just fine. How about you, my friend?
I'm glad you're surviving. So
hey, got to do what you got to do.
And you are obviously doing what you got to do. Bricklayer, concrete guy by trade, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, but you got away from that because you wanted to be a restaurateur, and then that all turned sour with the pandemic crap.
yes, whoever would have thought something like that would do that. But
yeah, no kidding. But
crazy.
Your first passion is absolutely going to be hunting and fishing. You created your own lure. When did you do this, man?
when the pandemic hit, we, as you guys all know, you couldn't do nothing. So we were just sitting at the house bored. And we just decided there wasn't nothing to do. So other than fishing, we was like, hey, let's get some stuff and create our own little line of fishing lures and things. And that's where we took off. I never painted before ever with an airbrush, other than, the house or, the restroom or whatever the wife wanted us to do.
Right.
And, therefore I got me a whole set up there and started airbrushing these lures in, and I got pretty decent at it, actually. And That's where pretty much where it stemmed from is all right there.
Well, I think that's pretty awesome. And Troy, great to meet you. Mark Cox here. It is
nice to meet you.
Yeah, and I wonder, because obviously I've done quite a bit of fishing through the years. I've often looked at these lures and thought, who in the world came up with that idea? So what do you think of when you're making a lure? Obviously, it's dependent on the fish you want to catch and how deep they may seek out food, that sort of thing. What goes into it beyond that? How do you determine colors and all that kind of stuff?
Color is determined by the color condition and the water condition. So the brighter, like if the water is murky, you want to use you try to shape and size the lure, the color. If you're fishing with blades, like a spinnerbait, you try to match all that to the water condition itself. And that's what you do. You just sit down and like, okay, we're going to fish a super clear lake, this week. And we need to make our baits for that. Muddy waters, there's certain kinds and colors and shapes, sizes, all that stuff plays a very important factor in all that. So, with that being said, it's just kind of like one of those, I like painting the bluegill pattern color on my crankbaits, because that's a natural bait fish.
Yeah.
And or like a shad color. So I just sit down and I Google images up and say, okay, well, this is my own little deal here. And I paint it myself as close as I could get to the real life. Sometimes it don't happen like that. And, sometimes that's what the fish want. Sometimes it's just an oddball that swims by there, when you're fishing. And I got some that I painted and they're just horrible. Like the grandson, when I first began, the grandson, that's his favorite lures are the most ugliest ones I got in my trays to fish with. But
Now, Troy, I got a question. So all your life you've been buying lures at, sporting goods stores or wherever you shop, or Walmart, whatever. Did you just always feel that there was something missing, or is this more of a I'm a hunter. I want to create my own firearm. I don't understand what was missing on the shelves that you couldn't get that you wanted to create yourself and to market it, to sell it.
It was just the it was just the concept, basically. Like you go to Dunn Sporting Goods, that's where I buy a lot of stuff from, and or Walmart.
Yeah.
And, and you look at this stuff up there and there's always crosses your mind like, oh man, I bet that would be easy to do. Or, it would be easy, but I'll tell you now, it's not real easy. If you really want to look at some of the detail on these things, you think, oh, it take me a couple minutes to do that. No, it takes a couple hours to do that. So just for one lure. So, that's where you got to learn to buy a certain stencil or something like that, to make your time faster, instead of taking the 2 or 3 hours to make it, it's a 20-minute deal then. But there's always that thought whenever you pick a lure up at the store and you're like, wow, just look at that. And then that crosses your mind too, look at this and I can do that. Pretty neat whenever you can come real close to one that you really like, and then you go out and you fish and you catch one or two or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's really neat, and it's a good feeling, especially when you do catch fish on your own lures.
Yeah, Troy DeRoos, our guest from Pole Shaker Lures. I'm looking at the pictures of some of the lures here, and looking at the body of them, do you make those from scratch? Do you buy the base and then make the lure yourself? Tell us about the process.
Yeah, we buy the base of it and then build it out from there.
Okay, all right.
So it's kind of like a taxidermy, mounting a head. They get a form,
yes.
Right? Similar to that.
Yes.
But more
similar
like,
to that, yes.
But more like painting on rice.
Yeah.
Yep.
Painting your name on rice.
I do have I got a fella that's got a, he makes plastic stuff on a 3D printer.
Yeah.
So me and him is in the works on my own. It's a lot of work. There's a lot of stuff that get involved there, but
you come by this honestly. I talked to Brian Wertle. Do you know him by name?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brian's a good buddy of mine, and he said, yeah, his cousin has a bait company called Hogs. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And so do you fish with him, or is he your competition?
No, I fish with him. That's my first cousin. Oh, so okay. no matter what, it'd never be competition ever, just because that's my family.
That's family.
So,
okay.
And that's the way that has to work. He might not say the same. He might say, heck no, I'm going to cut his line every time I see him. You know, so. But yeah, he does the plastic wear, you know, like the plastic crawls, the plastic worms.
Okay.
Some crappie jigs and stuff like that there. So if you're interested in anything like that, you can look him up on there. Pretty good fella right there.
Has he been instrumental in getting you to where you are with pole shakers?
Well, you know, we started almost at the same exact time, and we both kind of sent pictures to each other. He sent me a picture of some crawls and worms that he's done. He's like, check this out. And I was painting, and it was like, well, look what I'm doing. So it was almost, neither one of us knew that we were doing it, but it was almost kind of ironic because we sent pictures to one another of what we was doing. Wow. Pretty much. You know, he sent them, and then I sent mine. That's how that worked out. Yeah. But it was pretty cool, you know. But we both got people using our baits all over the states. You know, he's really taken off. He's got, like, some crappie stuff that's going on. Crane baits you can use. Spinner baits you can use for crappie, but not a lot. Most of the time they're, like, more of the small jigs, finesse-type stuff.
Right.
So... I graduated into some spinner baits, and we've been doing the topwater buzz bait, spinner baits, and that kind of stuff there too, to kind of open up the horizon just a little bit.
Wonderful.
You know, wondered, I was going to ask what was shaking the pole. I saw some pictures here that looked like some largemouth bass and maybe some smallmouth. Is that what you're targeting?
Both.
Both. Okay.
Yep.
I could have sworn.
You know, I got like a 65-pound flathead I've caught on one of my baits.
Wow.
So it just really, you know, it just depends on what it comes across. But, you know, they do catch fish, and it don't necessarily have to be a bass family. You know, it could be crappie, any of that.
Well, it's really cool to get an update on pole shakers. The guy is passionate. He's like you, Mark. He's got a good woman behind him that is supporting anything. I mean, if he wanted to scoop ice cream for a living, she'd be right next to him.
That's
seriously.
Fantastic.
Yes. Yes. Our pole shaker is a full trademarked deal there too. So we now own that, and it's ready to rock and roll.
Good.
Unfortunately, it's still hard to get a lot of stuff due to the pandemic, even though we've been involved in it for a heavy year and a half, or close to 2 years. You know, there's still stuff that we can't get and have not been able to get. So it makes it kind of difficult to go and market a bunch of good stuff and when I can't get it. So
where are you selling? Where are you selling, Troy?
I'm just right now. If and when, it just depends on their shipment, Dunn Sporting Goods.
Okay.
You know, if they're swamped with stuff in there, then I don't heckle them too much, you know, but whenever they're ready for me, they let me know, and I just take a set of stuff up there, and they sell them up there.
Can people buy them online?
A lot of individual.
Can people buy them?
Not at the moment. Okay. Yeah, you can just contact me on my Facebook page, and we can talk then or there. You know, we're still, you know, again, back to the not getting a lot of stuff. I don't feel I want to open a shop up and not be able to get what you need. And
yeah.
You know, I'd rather just talk to you personally and tell you what I can and can't get, and we'll work off of that.
That's how Phil Robertson started with his duck calls. Just call me. Order them, and I'll, you know, send them money. I'll send them on in the mail to you. Well,
yes,
Troy DeRusse,
it's got to work for now.
Absolutely. Congratulations on reinventing yourself once again, and keep me posted on the doghouse when that happens. If it happens, love to hear that, and I'll take Mark out for. I'll take Carl too to the doghouse because it's great food. But again, Troy, thanks for joining us. It's on Facebook. Go to Pole Shakers USA and you will find it. And I really thought, Carl, that you were gonna be playing Nickelback. That's what I really thought you were gonna play.
Why?
Shaking poles.
Is it a Nickelback thing? See,
let's not go there.
Working in hockey, I'm tired of Nickelback.
Oh, whatever. It's like Arby's. Everybody hates Arby's. No, they don't.
No,
they love
don't.
Arby's.
Curly fries are great.
And they love Nickelback. Troy, be good, brother.
Hey, take care. Thank you.
All right. Great to get him on here. Boy, that gets you ready, doesn't it, to do some fishing?
I love when people are passionate about stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he is definitely one That is that.
And when you can make a living doing it, it's that much better. Like if you're in radio, right?
What? You can make money at this?
I'm an Uber driver. I moonlight as an Uber driver. All right. Well, thanks for a great show. I enjoyed that.
Absolutely. Hey, have a great week. Thanks for
happy
listening
Easter.
To Second Amendment Radio.
Happy Easter week.
Absolutely. We'll see you next weekend on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
For three strange days. Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox, I'm Bo Matthews, and we've got Carl Middleman, who is our DJ extraordinaire. What is the reference of this song? I always have to ask because I'm like a one-lane guy.
All right, so this song is called Three Strange Days. It used to be... For people who don't know, I play the music at the blues games and I blow the horn.
Yes.
So when the blues games were on KMOX, it was Chris Kerber and Kelly Chase. Right. And they had a show called The Battler and the Broadcaster. And that was their like show. And, and when they were on KMOX, they did that. And this was their theme song. It is by School of Fish.
Oh, there's
and so
the connection.
That is the longest reach that you can get.
You were able to connect the dots, though. I'm impressed.
We actually, you know, we play fishing songs all the time. And I said, let's do something not as
obvious.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Okay. We are definitely not obvious.
Well done, yeah.
You know what? I'm going to throw it in here. This segment brought to you by Razorback Armory, your gun concierge and repair. I'm in a race with somebody else, a chief of police, to who's going to get their silencer first. We filed our paperwork about the same time, but the silencer shop kiosk kind of makes it quicker. So check it out, RazorbackArmory.com. Go see him and repair. Jesse and Brad do a great job, and tell them Bo sent you. So this guest that we have for this segment, we're going to the water. We're going fishing, and I see this guy. I follow him on Facebook, and I've known him for years. Had you ever, Mark, been to a place called the Doghouse Restaurant?
I have not.
Oh,
no.
I miss it so bad. But I bring it up because Troy and his beautiful wife opened up the Doghouse Restaurant in DeSoto. Then they opened up in Festus Crystal City. Pandemic hit. But there's hope that the Doghouse may come back. But in the meantime, this big boy has been a fisherman and a fish lure inventor. Troy DeRoos from Pole Shaker. How are you, my brother?
Just fine. How about you, my friend?
I'm glad you're surviving. So
hey, got to do what you got to do.
And you are obviously doing what you got to do. Bricklayer, concrete guy by trade, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, but you got away from that because you wanted to be a restaurateur, and then that all turned sour with the pandemic crap.
yes, whoever would have thought something like that would do that? But
yeah, no kidding. But
crazy.
Your first passion is absolutely going to be hunting and fishing. You created your own lure. When did you do this, man?
when the pandemic hit, we, as you guys all know, you couldn't do nothing, so we were just sitting at the house bored. And we just decided there wasn't nothing to do. So other than fishing, we was like, hey, let's get some stuff and create our own little line of fishing lures and things. And that's where we took off. I never painted before ever with an airbrush, other than, the house or, the restroom or whatever the wife wanted us to do.
Right.
And therefore, I got me a whole set up there and started airbrushing these lures in, and I got pretty decent at it, actually, and that's pretty much where it stemmed from is all right there.
Well, I think that's pretty awesome, and Troy, great to meet you. Mark Cox here. It is
nice to meet you.
Yeah, and I wonder, because obviously I've done quite a bit of fishing through the years. I've often looked at these lures and thought, who in the world came up with that idea? So what do you think of when you're making a lure? Obviously, it's dependent on the fish you want to catch and how deep they may seek out food, that sort of thing. What goes into it beyond that? How do you determine colors and all that kind of stuff?
Color is determined by the color condition and the water condition. So the brighter, like if the water is murky, you try to
shape and size, the lure, the color, if you're fishing with blades like a spinnerbait, you know, you try to match all that to the water condition itself. And that's what you do. You just sit down and like, okay, we're going to fish a super clear lake, you know, this week, and we need to make our baits for that. Muddy waters, you know, there's certain kinds and colors and shapes, sizes, all that stuff plays a very important factor in all that. So with that being said, it's just kind of like one of those, I like painting a bluegill pattern color on my crankbaits, you know, because that's a natural bait fish.
Yeah.
And or like a shad color. So I just sit down and I Google images up and say, okay, well, this is my own little deal here. And I paint it myself as close as I could get to the real life. Sometimes it don't happen like that. And, you know, sometimes that's what the fish want. You know, sometimes it's just an oddball that swims by there, you know, when you're fishing. And I got some that I painted and they're just horrible. Like the grandson, you know, when I first began, the grandson, that's his favorite lures are the most ugliest ones I got
right
in my trays to fish with. But
now, Troy, I got a question. So all your life you've been buying lures at, you know, sporting goods stores or wherever you shop, Walmart, whatever. Did you just always feel that there was something missing, or is this more of a I'm a hunter. I want to you know, create my own firearm. You know, I don't understand what was missing on the shelves that you couldn't get that you wanted to create yourself and to market it, to sell it.
It was just the concept, basically. Like, you know, you go to Dunn Sporting Goods, that's where I buy a lot of stuff from, and or Walmart.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you look at that stuff up there and you know, there's always crosses your mind like, oh man, I bet that would be easy to do. Or, you know, like, it would be easy, but I'll tell you now, it's not real easy. If you really want to look at some of the detail on these things, you know, you think, oh, it take me a couple minutes to do that. No, it takes a couple hours to do that. So just for one lure. So, that's where you got to learn to buy a certain stencil or something like that, you know, to make your time faster, instead of taking the 2 or 3 hours to make it, you know, it's a 20 minute deal then. But there's always that thought whenever you pick a lure up at the store and you're like, wow, just look at that. And then that's, you know, that crosses your mind too, you know, look at this and I can do that. It's pretty neat whenever you can come real close to one that you really like. And yeah. Then you go out and you fish and you catch one or two or whatever, you know, it's really neat. And it's a good feeling, especially when you do catch fish on your own lures.
Yeah, Troy DeRusse, our guest from Pole Shaker Lures. You know, I'm looking at the pictures of some of the lures here, and looking at the body of them, do you make those from scratch? Do you buy the base and then make the lure yourself? Tell us about the process.
Yeah, we buy the base of it and then build it out from there.
Okay, all right.
So it's kind of like a taxidermy, you know, mounting a head. They get a form,
yes.
Right? Similar to that.
Yes.
But more
similar
like,
to that, yes.
But more like painting on rice.
Yeah.
Yep.
Painting your name on rice.
I got a fella that's got a, he makes plastic stuff on a, like a 3D printer.
Yeah.
So me and him is in the works on my own. It's a lot of work. There's a lot of stuff that get involved there, but
you come by this honestly. I talked to Brian Wertle. Do you know him by name?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brian's a good buddy of mine, and he said, yeah, his cousin has a bait company called Hogs. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And so do you fish with him, or is he your competition?
No, I fish with him. That's my first cousin.
Oh,
so
okay.
no matter what, it'd never be competition ever, just because that's my family.
That's family.
So,
okay.
And that's the way that has to work. He might not say the same. He might say, heck no, I'm going to cut his line every time I see him. You know,
so.
But yeah, he does the plastic wear, you know, like the plastic crawls, the plastic worms,
okay,
some crappie jigs and stuff like that there. So if you're interested in anything like that, you can look him up on there. Pretty good fella right there.
Has he been instrumental in getting you to where you are with Pole Shakers?
Well, you know, it's we started almost at the same exact time, and we both kind of sent pictures to each other
he sent me a picture of some crawls and worms that he's done. He's like, check this out. And I was painting, and it was like, well, look what I'm doing. So it was almost, neither one of us knew that we were doing it, but it was almost kind of ironic because we sent pictures to one another of what we was doing. Wow. Pretty much, you know, he sent them and then I sent mine. That's how that worked out. Yeah. But it was pretty cool, you know, but we both got people using our baits all over the states. You know, he's really taken off. He's got like some crappie stuff that's going on. Crane baits you can use, spinner baits you can use for crappie, but not a lot. Most of the time they're like more of the small jigs, finesse type stuff.
Right.
So, I graduated into some spinner baits, and we've been doing the topwater buzz bait, spinner baits, and that kind of stuff there too, to kind of open up the horizon just a little bit.
Wonderful.
You know, I wondered, I was going to ask what was shaking the pole. I saw some pictures here that looked like some largemouth bass and maybe some smallmouth. Is that what you're targeting?
Both.
Both. Okay.
Yep.
I could have sworn.
You know, go ahead. We've caught, I got like a 65-pound flathead I've caught on one of my baits.
Wow.
So it just really, you know, it just depends on what it comes across. But, you know, it's... They do catch fish, and it don't necessarily have to be a bass family. You know, it could be crappie, any of that.
Well, it's really cool to get an update on Pole Shakers. The guy is passionate. He's like you, Mark. He's got a good woman behind him that is supporting anything. I mean, if he wanted to scoop ice cream for a living, she'd be right next to him.
That's seriously. Fantastic.
Yes, yes. Yes. Our Pole Shaker is a full trademarked deal there too, so at that we now own that, and it's ready to rock and roll. Unfortunately, it's still hard to get a lot of stuff due to the pandemic, even though we've been involved in it for a heavy year and a half or close to 2 years. You know, there's still stuff that we can't get and have not been able to get, so it makes it kind of difficult to go and market a bunch of good stuff and when I can't get it. So
where are you selling? Where are you selling, Troy?
I'm just right now if and when, it just depends on their shipment, Dunn Sporting Goods.
Okay.
You know, if they're swamped with stuff in there, then I don't heckle them too much, you know, but whenever they're ready for me, they let me know, and I just take a set of stuff up there, and they sell them up there.
Can people buy them online?
A lot of individual.
Can people buy them?
Not at the moment. Okay. Yeah, you can just contact me on my Facebook page, and we can talk then or there. You know, we're still... you know, again, back to the not getting a lot of stuff. I don't feel I want to open a shop up and not be able to get what you need. And, you know, I'd rather just talk to you personally and tell you what I can and can't get, and we'll work off of that.
That's how Phil Robertson started with his duck calls. Just call me. Order them, and I'll, you know, send them money. I'll send them on in the mail to you. Well,
yes,
Troy DeRusse,
it's got to work for now.
Absolutely. Congratulations on reinventing yourself once again, and keep me posted on the doghouse when that happens. If it happens, love to hear that, and I'll take Mark out for. I'll take Carl too. To the doghouse because it's great food. But again, Troy, thanks for joining us. It's on Facebook. Go to Pole Shakers USA, and you will find it. And I really thought, Carl, that you were going to be playing Nickelback. That's what I really thought you were going to play.
Why?
Shaking poles.
Is it a Nickelback thing? See,
let's not go there.
Working in hockey, I'm tired of Nickelback.
Oh, whatever. It's like Arby's. Everybody hates Arby's. No, they don't.
No,
they love
don't.
Arby's.
Curly fries are great.
And they love Nickelback. Troy, be good, brother.
Hey, take care. Thank you.
All right. Great to get him on here. Boy, that gets you ready, doesn't it, to do some fishing?
I love when people are passionate about stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he is definitely one that is that.
And when you can make a living doing it, it's that much better. Like if you're in radio, right?
What? You can make money at this?
I'm an Uber driver. I moonlight as an Uber driver. All right. Well, thanks for a great show. I enjoyed that.
Absolutely. Hey, have a great week. Thanks for
listening
to Second Amendment Radio.
Happy Easter weekend.
Absolutely. We'll see you next weekend on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.